Blog Talk Radio.
Flash the war room. Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B-Austin, hot block commander.
Give it to you. How you wanna end the 1 or 2 hour show? To keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with the topic, sort of like some rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
What up, War Room family? This is our sixth show. I did say sixth show of August, and we'd like to welcome you back to the roundtable. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm here with my partners Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson. As the NFL season inches closer, we have a great rundown for you today. We'll preview the NFL season by discussing some of the storylines that will play huge roles in the season. And at the top of the hour, we'll talk with USA Today NFL reporter Robert Klimko about the upcoming NFL season. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation as usual. If you want to join the conversation, jump into that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can call and talk to us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. But before we get started, as usual, we like to give some shout-outs to some of our sports family. Make sure you check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out Brandon, Chris, and Daniel of Sports Trap Radio every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ueradiolive.com. Also, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Friday on newvibradio.com. That's N-U-V-I-B-E radio.com, 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. But now, y'all know what Jimmy's about to do. He's about to tell us who's celebrating today.
It's my birthday. Yay!
What's up, gentlemen?
Yo. I'm really excited to talk my ish today.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Shout out to our new Vibe radio listeners, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Better than
listen
ever.
In
but
so I can tell you what your opinions are on sports.
Let's jump into these birthdays, though. And the birthdays are brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, that is including the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo, and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. Football is getting ready to start, and if you play fantasy like most people do, you gotta have the Sunday Ticket.
Yeah.
At any rate, first birthday I want to talk about is one Andrew Steven, a.k.a. Andy Roddick, who turns 30.
It's my birthday! Yay!
B. Austin, a.k.a. the Hot Block Commander. When I say Andy Roddick, what comes to mind?
I don't think he's better than Serena. y'all do realize and understand that whenever you bring up tennis, it's just an excuse. Y'all already know. Dev, go ahead and say something intelligent.
I ain't got much intelligent to say. Like with Andy Roddick, when I thought about it, I just wish that we had like a sound bite with a choking sound on it because, you know, this dude is very talented in the sport of tennis, but, you know, when it comes to playing the people that have names, the Federers, you know, the Djokovics, the Nadals, he just doesn't make the cut. You know what I'm saying? He always advances in a tournament, but as soon as he gets up against some stiff competition like that, he chokes. The best I've ever seen Andy Roddick play was that long match that he had with Federer. When they, I forgot how many sets it went, but it was a really, really competitive match, and you didn't really expect that from him. But of course, he lost in the end. But that's what he does.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
And my man Andy doesn't win much.
Nothing positive.
He wins off the court, though. You know, he wins off the court.
He got some nice looking. Yeah, he got some nice looking moisture on his side. But anyway. Next birthday you want to talk about is one Clifton Pfeiffer. Fluke is the nickname. Lee. That's Cliff Lee. 34
my
years
birthday.
Of age.
My birthday. Yay!
Start with you this time, Dev. Cliff Lee.
Man, well, that's his nickname, Fluke. I'm glad he wasn't a fluke. You know, I really like Cliff Lee as a player. I mean, you saw when he first came to Philadelphia, you know, he stood in that World Series and did what he had to do. Just everybody else didn't live up to what they had to do. And he's kind of been getting, you know, traded back and forth and you know, going back and forth from free agency in the last few years between Philadelphia and Texas. And he was also rumored to maybe be on his way back before the trade deadline this year. Remember, when we talked about it on the show, I was telling you guys I really hope that didn't happen, and it didn't. So I'm glad Cliff Lee is still in Philadelphia. I don't know for how much longer, but that's my
man. Opinion. I'm just disappointed overall in the Phillies. Like, you know, for those that listen back to our preview special for baseball, don't hold my picks against me, man. I was so high on the Phillies coming into this season, and just to mention
you was tripping.
I know, I was. I know. It is what it is, though. But anyway, man, be awesome. Cliff Lee.
Yo, shout out to Brent. He's better than Doc Holliday. I like Cliff Lee. I think in a part of me, like the GM part of me, wants to say trade him while you still can, because he's getting a little, you know, long in the tooth. But trade him when you can get some value to do something. I don't even know if I really believe that coming out of my mouth, but we're so bad all of a sudden. It's like, what's the use of having a great, you know, a good, I won't say great, a good pitcher like him around when you ain't going to put up no runs anyway?
Well, they've been playing much better as of late. It's just they got themselves in such a big hole.
Too late.
Like, basically too late.
That's
because
it's irrelevant,
You still have delusional Philly fans who are trying to, you know, do the count and see how the scenario would have to go down for them to make the playoffs, and you know how that is.
Yeah. Fun's on hold. Yo, my man, LeRoy McConnell, who's in the Texas area these days, he said he's so glad that the Rangers didn't take that on. And no, he said no one's taking that contract. His contract is diesel. So,
oh, now nobody wants Cliff because his numbers aren't his season isn't as good. People would clamor for Cliff.
That's the way the world works, man. It's what have you done for me lately?
But especially in the beginning of the season, it wasn't that he was pitching bad. He just never got any run support. So his ERA was pretty good early on, and, you know, he just didn't get any help.
It's that age, man.
Jim, before you go on to the next one, we just talked about Andy Roddick. I just saw some breaking news on him. Looks like he's going to retire on his 30th birthday. 30 is kind of old for tennis players. So,
that.
Look like he's retired today, but, you know, we'll see.
Shout out to him.
True to this.
Shout out to him. He got the moisture on his side.
He got his money.
Next birthday, what you remember about this guy right here, is one Sean Edward Alexander turns 35.
My birthday! Yay!
When I say the name Sean Alexander, what comes to mind?
Paul Pierce. Because neither one of them dudes had any muscle. Like, they do not look like professional athletes. They look like used book salesmen. And both of them are tremendous at what they do, or were tremendous. Well, Paul is still tremendous. Sean just kind of, yo, he fell off the map like a Eagle Ford Shell oil well.
He did play the running back position, you know what I mean? When I personally think of Sean Alexander, I think of playing fantasy football back when he, you know, played for the Seahawks. I think he played from like 2000, like 2007. He would put up these ridiculous numbers. And I remember this one Sunday night game, I had like 5 touchdowns.
I remember that game.
I just happened to be playing a guy that had Sean Alexander, and I was smashing him. Pause on that. Until that evening, he played the Sunday night game, and he just went, like, you know, 8 bananas.
Sean Alexander, did he tie or break the single season touchdown
single
record
season.
That year?
Yeah.
Does he still have it?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure, but he did. He did hold it at one time recently, too.
I think it was like, it was either 04 or 05. He had 28 touchdowns. And I only remember that from playing fantasy. And but I think that was broke. Who broke that? LT, I think.
Was that Lauren? Yeah, I was about to call him Lauren. Not go ahead and name
it Lauren. I think either LaDainian Tomlinson. Because, yo, back then, your running backs used to be crazy. Remember, Priest Holmes used to put up like 20 touchdowns.
Yeah, we don't have a stat boy like Mike and Mike. So if anybody knows that, in the chat room, let us know.
but I know
we
that
we need stats.
He was a fantasy stud. Dev, you saw the same thing when I said that.
Well, when the
I just think of fantasy.
That specific night, I remember that clear because I actually think he was on my team that year, and Yeah, he was
one of the
touchdown machine, man. One of the
greatest cutback runners the league had ever seen. Like he was a one or two cut runner. Like back against the grain, the play would start going one way, and he'd make that cut, see the hole, and the cut was never that dramatic.
It wasn't sharp.
But it was
a Herschel Walker type dude on the cut. but a little better.
Herschel didn't cut. Herschel just earned.
Herschel just slammed on the brakes. And his tires must have been bald or something because his brakes never worked.
Yeah.
But no, Sean Alexander, I saw him recently. Maybe like 4 months ago, I was coming out of a restaurant in D.C. middle of the day on like a Saturday, and dude was just walking by on Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
Avenue
no one knows who
himself.
He is. No one knows.
But I'm just wondering, like, why is he just walking by himself around like D.C. on Pennsylvania Avenue?
I
know
he finished his
career
with the Redskins, so I guess he stayed there, what have you. But, yo, peep this, though. In our chat room, they said that LT was the one that broke it. I was right about that. Yo, LT scored 30 touchdowns in the season.
Damn.
How crazy is that? If you have a running back that scores 30 touchdowns in 3 years, that's like, you know, that's good. Like, that's 10 per year. Like, how you score 30 in one? Come on, girl.
That's the stuff people forget, though, when you play a little too long, because people, the way they talk about LaDainian these days, it's not as flattering as I think it should be. Like,
yeah,
dude, it should go down as one of the all-time greats, but you play 3 or 4 years past your ultimate prime, or at least just when you should have stopped, people seem
to forget. Yeah, it's crazy. Yo, I've got a story about that, but real quick in our chat room, Salim King, shout out to him. He said that 2005, Sean Alexander was the MVP. In 2007, he got put on the Madden cover, and after that, it was pretty much over.
The jinx is real.
It's real, yo. That Madden cover jinx is real.
We definitely live in a society where it's like, what have you done for me lately? I was actually arguing with Glenn today. He was trying to tell me that Derrick Rose is better than AI.
Oh,
and I'm like,
God.
I'm like, cut it out. And here's my thing, though. We don't have to dig deep into this, but I'm like, yo, Derrick Rose has only been doing it a couple of years at this point, besides the fact that we don't know how he's going to come back. But it's one of them things where if you disappear, you know, from your level for a couple of years, people forget just how good you are, and that's how society is with everything now, no matter what it is.
Definitely.
So, you know what I mean? But anyway, let's move on. Shout out to Sean Alexander on his birthday.
Oh, Jimmy had to put a video up the other day to remind people about Magic Johnson. Why would we ever have to do that? But, you know, people forgot.
Listen, man, y'all going to think I'm crazy when I say this, man, but people are already starting to forget how good Mike was.
I've been peeping some conversations, you know.
I ain't.
And I'll be honest, man. Y'all know I slander and slight Magic Johnson every chance I get, but that dude was great, man. He could pass the rock like no one 6'9" ever until, you know, the dude now.
Yeah,
and he was
but
clutch.
It's funny because it's just amazing. Like, because basketball is not even a sport to me anymore. Basketball is like a culture. But within the culture, it's crazy how, yo, people just forget. And now I see how people who actually physically watch a role play, I see how they feel.
Well, you know what? It's our job.
I transcended all that.
It's our job. And Devin, yo, I learned this from you. When you see a young, impressionable male, you got to pull him to the side.
You
got to
take him under your wing. Yeah, you got to.
There's a case of video called Rare Air, and you just put that on, and that'll do the job for you.
No, but it's funny because I personally thought that I said, all right, well, Mike transcends all that because, you know, and I am one of the people who don't feel as though Mike was the GOAT. But with that being said, I recognize his greatness, but I thought that Mike transcended, you know, all that, you know, considering the marketing and everything else. But I actually see people starting to slight Mike. And a lot of it's because of LeBron. LeBron is the it guy at this point. But I'm just, like, ain't you, like, it's just no comment, man. Speaking of Magic Johnson and those great Lakers-Celtics games, how about this birthday for you? I want to hear what you got to say about this guy. One Robert Lee Parrish turns 59.
My
the
birthday!
Chief.
Yay!
Damn, when I say Robert Parrish, what comes to mind?
The chief.
You ain't call that dude the chief for nothing. Yo, Robert Parrish was all right. Like, now, he's one that you don't immediately think of when you think of great centers, you know, because he seemed like he played his part on such a talent-laden team. But Robert Parrish had game, man. He was a pretty good center in his day. He held his own pretty much against anybody he had to face. But for some reason, I'm going to speak for myself, I just don't look at him as that superstar center. Like, I don't bring up Robert Parrish in any conversation when I'm talking about centers.
Yeah, I mean,
whether that's right or wrong. I just don't for some reason.
He wasn't flashy. He got the job done. Like I said in our chat room, he was a lunch pail type guy that did what he had to do. I think that front court may have been the best front court in the history of the league with Bird, Mikhail, and Parrish. That's a hell of a front court.
Yo,
and,
when I think of Robert Parrish, I'm thinking Sam Perkins and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And if you don't get the correlation, I can't.
Yo, when I think of Robert Parrish, I think of Sam Hurd.
I think a Dutch man.
If you don't get that correlation, then I don't know what to tell you.
Sam Hurd. Nino Hurd.
You think of Bam Morris?
Yeah, Bam Morris and Sam Hurd. But in the grand scheme of things, looking back at his career, Robert Parrish may be definitely an underrated player. You know, but he also played on a team with Larry Legend and Kevin McHale is, you know, one of the best power forwards ever.
Yeah.
It's funny though. You know somebody's an underrated player when you admit that you underrate them. Because I definitely underrate Robert Parrish.
Yo,
but
why
I know
he
what he
that
did.
That confused look on his face. Yo, he always looked
because he was high, man.
Yo, I'm not in that chat room. I don't know if Salim means this because I guess he's a Knicks fan. He said Amari, Melo, and Chandler are better than Bird, McHale, and Parrish.
Yo, we don't know. We don't talk.
He followed it up with an LOL and let's go.
Okay.
But he definitely was underrated. But, you know, with that being said, let's move on to the next birthday, which is Theodore Samuel, a.k.a. Ted Williams. RIP, shout out to Ted Williams.
My birthday, yay!
Anything you guys want to say about Ted Williams from what you've seen?
One of the greatest hitters of any era, period. I got Ted hitting in the 300s now. Like, it don't matter what era.
Widely recognized as the greatest hitter of all time.
Like, hitting a baseball was just what he was born to do. Like, he could just hit.
Yeah, played for 22 years.
Retired, came back.
Was he the last player to
Triple Crown?
I think he was the last player to bat over 400 in a season. He
batted
406.
That's correct.
In 1941. Like, that's
man,
while
you
a
guys
long time
give him
for somebody not to do
while you guys want to give him props, I ain't saying nothing good about him because he played for the Red Sox. And Red Sox fans irritate me. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Yankees fans are very arrogant. But when you look at their history, they have a right to be arrogant. But Boston fans, the Red Sox fans in particular, are just as arrogant as Yankees fans.
And they don't win
without
anything.
Without the history. I mean, they've
been
very competitive.
You know what,
lately.
Though? I don't know. When you think about it, the Red Sox fans of today, they might have more room to talk than Yankees fans. You know, just because the city, period, all they do up there now is win championships.
The
Yankees got, 26, 27, but, you know, they haven't been winning them much in recent years, you know what I'm saying? Before they beat the Phillies, their last championship was what, like 96, something like that?
Right.
I don't know.
But at the end of the day, like, I know overall Boston, the Celtics brought one back, the Patriots have been winning shit.
Yo,
Ted. You know, I know the Boston's been putting in work, but I'm talking about specifically the Red Sox fans.
Rest in peace, Ted. The dude retired and came back as a middle-aged man and hit over 300.
But yeah. What Jimmy's basically saying is, like, y'all were the Cubs before 2004, and now y'all.
More or less. Yeah, more or less.
Now y'all the Yankees, y'all think.
Yo, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. yo, our chat room is bugging today. he said basically that he lost his prime by fighting in the war, which is true. But Leroy said that they bury him yet because, you know, he wasn't buried right away. There was some issues going on with his estate. But
right, trying to figure out how to hit.
Back to me slandering Red Sox fans. Yo, they're delusional, man. That's all I want to say.
You just wanted to add that before we move
yeah,
on
no
real
doubt.
Quick.
No doubt.
Cool,
no doubt.
Cool.
And if y'all don't like it, yo, at me, though. Y'all can find me. Anyway, let's move on, man. Dev, do me a favor. Tell everybody what happened while they were on the grind.
All right, fans. While y'all were on the grind, it's brought to you by Bay Financial Services. Go to our website, worldroomsports.com. Look at our sponsors page. Click on Bay Financial Services and get your money right. Because I know you're spending it wrong. So, while y'all were on the grind this week, a few things happened, you know. Let's take it into the MEAC for a minute. Half y'all listening out there don't even know what the MEAC is. However.
Shout out to the MEAC, yo.
Remember that kid where the FAMU, the Florida A&M band?
Yes,
yeah.
Of course.
They were hazing on the bus, and they killed somebody, and blah, blah, blah. Some felony charges have finally come down on that whole case. And the band leader, I don't know what it's really called because I'm not really down with the band, but Dante Martin, he faced felony hazing charges in connection with the death. He's listed as one of 12 felony defendants. But, you know, the reason his name is the one being put out there is because they said he was the bus president, quote unquote. So I guess, you know, on the band have like 2-3 buses and somebody's in charge of the bus. So if somebody down your bus, that's your ass. So he's in trouble. What do y'all think about this whole thing?
I actually have some insight into this story
from
a Bandcamp, former right? member of the Marching 100. One of the dancers, and never mind, I don't think I want to tell that story.
Okay. Well, the Marching 100, which is what their band is called, they will not be performing at games this year. So I guess they're going to sort all this out, see who goes to jail, see what happens before, you know, they decide what they're going to do with the whole band program. The Dodgers kind of reloaded earlier in the week with their trade with the Red Sox, the aforementioned Red Sox that Jimmy just got finished trashing. The Dodgers actually took on a lot of contract, about $261 million in contract. So Stan Kasten and Magic and them spending money. I'm pretty sure Magic didn't have to dig into his pockets. But they acquired Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, and Josh Beckett in a 9-player deal. And like I said, they took on like $261 billion in salary. What they gave up was first baseman James Loney and some minor leaguers, a couple players to be named later. So sounds like it was a salary dump for the Red Sox.
Millions
Jimmy
of money.
Saying, you know, yeah, because the Red Sox payroll was out of control and they weren't winning. So it was time to dump. Start over, reload. Looks like they're kind of getting rid of everybody from the Theo Epstein regime, you know, players.
I mean, from a business standpoint, their move definitely made sense. The Dodgers are trying to, you know, basically Steinbrenner the game. I mean, it's only right. LA, you know, is a huge market, and they are baseball junkies out there. So, and the Dodgers, you know, need to compete. Baseball is hilarious. You basically can buy your way. You can't buy a championship, but you can buy
but
your way.
You can buy your way to being pretty damn good.
Yeah, how about
you?
Yeah,
we got a quote from
Magic.
Magic was like, "We understand that you have to spend money to be good in this league. We understood that before we bought the team, so we're excited." Magic is easy for you to say, because Magic all he brings to this deal is a smile.
It's a smile
and a reputation.
Yeah. You trying to say Magic? You trying to say Magic got that Sean Carter deal?
I think Magic still probably negotiated a higher percent.
Yo,
one fifteenth of a fifteenth of a fifteenth of a percent.
Magic gave them a Starbucks in the stadium and took 1/1000th of a percent.
Magic definitely probably has more than that. But what they're going to
build,
they're
going to build a theater in the stadium. That's going to be his.
Yo,
so if the Dodgers ain't playing well, go to the movies, man. Go watch Moneyball or something. Did y'all hear about the official? It was a teenage sporting event, and this German official was killed Monday after being struck in the throat with a javelin. Now, the person who threw the javelin was a 15-year-old athlete who's all messed up in the game now. He's going through psychological counseling. But can you imagine, how you just sitting there and you get struck in your throat with a javelin?
Yo, it's not funny. My fault. It's
yo,
not
that
funny.
Ain't
it's
funny, dog.
Story. It's definitely a sad story, but, everybody messed up. How is he going to continue living life knowing that he definitely can't throw a javelin no more? That's done.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
he can't even, man.
Me.
He gonna need somebody to cut his steak for him. He not. Come on, man. I'd be real messed up if I killed somebody with a javelin. Because if you struck the judge in the throat, then you probably shouldn't have been throwing the javelin in the first place.
Damn, Judge. Yo, was he in any relation to Donovan McNabb?
No, because that javelin would have just went into the ground.
Yo, it wouldn't have hurt anybody.
Oh, yeah, you gotta,
it wouldn't have hurt anybody. One.
This might have been a Tebow javelin. I'm not a Tebow detractor. But,
no,
yo,
y'all
sometimes
are both
when he
wrong.
Throw the ball,
y'all are both wrong.
Yo, well, sometimes when he throw the ball, that joint just goes sailing over people's heads. And his hands.
Yo, that definitely was a Jamarcus Russell javelin.
Oh, yeah, he probably threw it 70 yards off his knees.
Because he don't know where it's going. When
yo, what's wrong with us, man? We making jokes.
He on that
man,
purple ring, though,
life,
so he got
man.
An excuse. McNabb been on that purple
to the,
ring.
To the German judge, man. That's a sad story, even though we just sat here and made sick jokes about it. One last thing real quick, and Akil's not with us tonight. I know this is one of his topics that he really likes to talk about, so we'll just go. We don't have to really talk. We'll wait till he comes back and maybe let him rock on it for a little while. But Lance Armstrong. He decided earlier in the week that he's done fighting these allegations, and the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency, whatever it's called, the USADA, has decided to strip that man of all of his 7 Tour de France titles and have banned him from the sport for life. You guys got any quick thoughts on that? Like I said, we'll save the big conversation for Doc Bay, but...
It's also hindering him from competing in the Ironman competition because he retired from cycling to compete in triathlons. So he was going to ride bikes, swim, and run.
Oh, since they're sanctioned in that, they won't even let him do that?
Yeah, they're sanctioned in that, but he's not allowed
to
do that.
Can he get a relay on and just pass it to somebody when it comes to the bike part and then get back in the pool? No.
Listen, I mean, I'm not going to debate whether he did or he didn't. I haven't seen a positive test. A lot of his teammates have already admitted to cheating, so it wouldn't surprise me if he did. But then again, at the end of the day, when I think about it, I don't even think I care. You know what I mean?
That sport
is dirty in general. That sport is dirty
you,
in general.
I'm going to tell you something funny that fits right in with what you just said, Jimmy. Realize that if they take the 7 wins from him, all 7 of those wins – will go to people who have already been indicted, accused, or suspended.
Well, they're not going to nobody, then.
Or PED.
So basically, by the end of 2012, they want me to sit here and think about the fact that Lance never won a race and Joe Pa hasn't won a game in 10 years. So
exactly.
What have I been watching the last 10 years? F a week, man. I don't care. I just don't care at all. I say let them all cheat. If you want to risk your long-term health and everything to entertain me, go ahead.
Yeah, and I don't really care either. I don't even ride bikes no more. I ain't done that since I was, 13 on my BMX, my dyno coupe, but
I'm taking
at the same
care.
Time, though.
I don't care if my NBA player is
Lance,
or my football, my baseball player. I don't care.
Lance Armstrong really is the only reason that a lot of people know that there's a sport where you ride 10 speeds up a hill, so... I give them some props for that. So they about to strip away the most decorated person in their sport.
Let me, I guess,
the only reason people
about
know
we
about
have a,
this.
We have a comment. We have a comment in our chat room that says Lance is to cycling what Tiger is to blacks in golf. Do
True.
You agree with that?
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, he is because, come on, let's be real. All these black people playing golf now. Come on, man.
But even beyond that, though, for me, when I think of Lance Armstrong,
I got
like,
too
I
many friends that play golf, and you know.
And this is
like,
just this
on,
is
y'all.
Just my per this is just my personal opinion.
Basketball.
Lance. When I think of Lance Armstrong, I don't even think of cycling anymore. I think about his fighting cancer and how much he's done, you know, in the movement to, you know, eradicate cancer. I think about that. I don't even think about cycling, which is funny because, you know, that's what he did and that's how he made his name and got in the position to help so many people. But with that being said, I think of the Live Strong movement more than I think of cycling, and that's just me personally.
Yeah. But it's crazy that cycling is so serious that – we've been on a witch hunt for this dude for 10 years. I mean, I hear a lot of people saying, if you don't believe that he did it, then something's wrong with you. Like you said, Jimmy, I don't really care. Like,
yeah, my thing
even
is,
if,
gotta,
even if
you,
I believe he did it, the facts are he never tested positive, so he should have gotten away with it.
And here's my thing. And, you know, Marion Jones never tested positive either. But anyway, my thing is this, though.
Well,
she
spilled
the
beans eventually. Dude taking this to his grave.
Yeah, he did. He definitely is. At the end of the day, you take away his wins and all that. How much taxpayer money did it take? Well, not even taxpayer money. How much money did you spend in general to go after this guy?
Too much. For something that nobody cares about.
They could have gave that money to Livestrong. I'm just saying.
Or they could have gave it to, like, a rival cancer charity or something just to make them mad. I'm giving more money to the V Foundation. All right, but that's what happened this week while y'all were on the ground. B. Austin, you want to tell these people how they can get in touch with us real quick?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners, loved ones, friends, and family, check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us messages about our company, about the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab so that you can buy War Room Sports merchandise, get your trucker hat, get your T-shirt on, and then click on the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in All's Fair in Sports and War, the critically acclaimed War Room Sports blog. Then click on the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, and to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. That's warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio, or if you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or your Twitter accounts. While you're at it, click follow to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about our show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show live. To call in and speak to one of the hosts, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 when you want to speak. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, so raise your hand, and we might just call on you.
You may
What's going on in the chat room, fellas?
You know, a little bit of talking about you know, Lance Armstrong and his fight, you know.
Lance Livestrong.
Yeah, that, matter of fact, that's his name, man.
I think he did it, and I'm still on his side.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it boils down to. I mean, I guarantee you that there are a majority of the Americans feel the same way you do, Dev. Like, you know, they know he did it, but it don't even matter whether he did it or not. You dig?
Leave that man alone.
Basically, man, let's talk some football real fast. Actually, Before we talk football, let me let you know that the NFL Wrap is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer or from your iPhone, your Android phone. And if you have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, you can also listen to The War Room, but you probably should upgrade your phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Go to Stitcher.com/The War Room, and that's one word. And when you enter your code, enter The War Room, one code, for a chance to win millions and millions of money. At any rate, this is a football-related story.
Hey, Jimmy.
Let's talk about Madden 13.
Hey, Jim. Somebody got a Palm phone. They should download the gun app and shoot yourself.
Yo, cat's still rocking a Palm phone. Cut it out, man. Like, please, cut it out. Yo, you can get you a little Metro PCS Android or something. A little Cricket or something, man. Anyway, man. Madden 13 was released on Monday. I've actually played the game. It's an excellent game. There's a couple things I, of course, every year the game improves. There's a couple things I don't like, which is pretty much because, like any other video game, you're used to certain things, and, you know, I like the fantasy draft. And if, you know, anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But in terms of the game to me is actually, you know, an excellent game as usual.
Yeah.
But what is your opinion, Dev?
Did you guys... Well, before I talk about that, because I did end up getting it, and y'all know I'm not a gamer at all.
Mm-hmm.
But Howard, did you get any reports on like the lines at midnight? Was it crazy?
Yeah, as usual. I actually talked to people while they were out there. People were like, you know, twit picking the lines or what have you. The lines, as usual, were crazy. So Madden at this point is like, I don't even want to call it a cult following, but it's deeper than just like.
I think it is. I think you can go ahead and go with that.
It is a cult following, but it's beyond a cult following. It's like it's bigger than a cult following. This thing right here. I was reading about the video game industry in general, and it said that 90% of the games released these days lose money, and Madden is one of the only franchises that actually generates revenue. That and Call of Duty.
They generate enough money alone to cover the losses of the other games released.
Jim, to your point real quick, I think that's why Curt Schilling's company went under, because Curt Schilling, the former Sox pitcher, used to have has a video game company, but apparently they're not doing good at all.
Yeah,
so,
they said most of them lose money. And you know, it used to be NBA Live and getting their tail kicked for the last couple of years. They're trash. But, Dev, what's your opinion of the game?
Well, doesn't Madden have, like, a monopoly on the NFL? Like, because they're really, you know, they really have the rights to
the NFL game.
Yeah,
no, but
I think
the NFL has sold their – I don't think they have exclusive rights, though. Because there were other games.
But that's what I thought.
I thought
Madden
kind of got
them out of
there. I think they did.
They didn't always.
At one point they didn't. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what happened with NFL Live. Remember, there was NFL Live for a while?
Or like 2K.
Like,
2K had a franchise.
Yeah,
I played the game. Like I said, I got to throw the disclaimer out there that I'm not a gamer. Last time I touched my PlayStation was probably 2 years ago when Madden 11 was out. Even then, I was trash. So I don't really have much to compare it to, you know, because as far back, man, the last system I had was when me and PJ was roommates and Drew Hall at Howard University in 95, PlayStation 1. I'm going to tell you how we got that. But that's the last system I had before this. So, you know, it's been a while. But so I don't have much to compare it to. So everything I play now, if I play anything, has to be like one of the greatest games you've ever played, because everything is just so real these days. You know, it don't hold the same type of place in my heart is like Tecmo Bowl or Super Tecmo or anything like that, because, you know, that was childhood stuff. But I like the game, you know, but being
the
somebody who's not. Oh, no, Jim, it took me, you know, it really took me, I popped it in and it took me like 45 minutes to get started.
And for me, it's like I'm a gamer who is no longer a gamer, because I just don't have the time to be a gamer. But like you said, at this point, the games are so phenomenal because it's not like kids coming up now where all they know is great games. You know, I remember games like that were just completely
I remember
trash.
Tetris.
I played Coleco.
I remember Tetris.
I played
Ten Yard Fight.
I played in television,
yeah,
man, before
that.
All that.
Yo,
you know 10-yard like,
fight,
yo,
it took you 6 minutes to run an 80-yard touchdown. And it had that little marching sound like...
like
Phil was like a treadmill. Phil was like a treadmill on that jump.
Yo, you just put your hand on the button and just hold it and you find a way to do something else.
Hey, PJ, that's why they called it 10-yard fight, because it took you so long to fight for 10 yards.
Yeah,
nobody's trying to tackle you. Like, that was crazy.
It's crazy, though, because I go back to video games, like, on television, man, ColecoVision. Like, yo, I remember playing, like, Johnson computer class in school. It's just crazy. Like, so to see where video games have come, you know, which, again, is another culture, how far they've come is amazing. And it's so realistic, but it's kind of crazy. But like you said, Madden is huge. It's one of the only profitable games out there, so shout out to that. But
actually, like, to our listeners, you know, we've been reaching out to some people at EA, so we're actually trying to get one of the designers on the show to come talk about the game since it's out now, you know, so any questions and complaints you might have, once we do that, you probably can get them answered. As a matter of fact, one of our partner shows, the Broad Street Line, they had the lead designer, Patrick Blanco, on their show the week before it came out. So we'll just, you know, if you guys want to hear that, we'll just post that episode on our Facebook page or something, and you can hear what he had
to
say. But we're going to try to get the perspective from after, you know, post release.
Yeah, no doubt. And also, the homie Brandon from Sports Trap Radio, he's actually in our chat room now, and he's an addict too, because he just answered one of my questions. while
we probably could bring B on as a lead, as a designer. Interview
him. Yeah, need to give B a job with EA Sports, but no doubt. So you know, it was released, and of course, as usual, the numbers are going to be through the roof. Jumping into real life football, the Buffalo Bills have traded to Tavares Jackson, and they have released Vince Young.
So they picked up some garbage after dropping off some ish.
What do you think about the Buffalo Bills move? Is that an upgrade, even if it's a little upgrade?
I think that they're just moving around trash at the bottom of the dumpster. That's like going out to the dumpster and moving the trash around because it's too hot. So you move.
Y'all stupid.
So that's like when your mom tell you to clean your room and you just pick stuff up and just throw it in the closet. Like you.
Yeah, you just throw it in the closet and it's still dirty. And when she open that closet, she gonna get knocked over by 40-year-old pizza and some dingy socks from last year's two-a-days in the summer.
So like when you're taking out the trash and then some garbage gets stuck on your foot. And you bring that back in the house with you.
And you bring that right back in. So they just brought the garbage right back in the house, and they ain't getting no better.
So this is
the thing that I want to explain to listeners. Like, it's not even so much that Tavares Jackson is garbage. Think of the starting quarterback and the system that they run with a Harvard graduate at quarterback. And then you take that system and you put Tavares in it. What is he going to do that Fitzpatrick can do? They don't play the same. They're not on the same wavelength. That's why having Vince Young as a backup is like saying, here, I know you came into camp as a kick returner, a punt returner, but we know you played junior high quarterback, so we're going to go ahead and let you back up Fitzpatrick. Like,
so
it doesn't
saying,
really.
So you're saying basically, if I ask you, is Tavares better than Vince Young, that's like asking you, is Ish worse than Dookie?
Exactly. Same
that's
thing.
Like, Jim, what would you rather get pooped on or vomited on? You know what I mean? That's asking you which way you want to get it.
Y'all killing these dudes.
Yeah.
But not,
I mean, honestly,
I know
how I feel about Tavares Jackson.
Yeah.
And Vince Young.
In our chat room, B said that the Bills threw Young on the wire like a pair of old sneaks and got Jackson right out the speakeasy. So,
B also makes a good point, though, because I think if you're going to do that, if you're going to have quarterbacks who bring two totally different skill sets to the table, then like the other guy, the Vince Young type dude or the Tavares Jackson should probably be your starter. Because
right.
if you start running a system with the guy who can't do as much athletically as they can do, you know, if he goes down and then one of these guys has to take over and try to pick up where the team left off, it's not going to work. But on the other hand,
I feel exactly what you're saying, but I would even go a step further, Dev, and say athleticism doesn't matter that much at that position. Yo, these guys' brains aren't in their heads. So
that's why you start with them. That's what Andy Reid does. You know, he throw McNabb out there, he throw Vic out there, and then he have the prototypical dude backing him up. So, okay, what you lose with athleticism, you know, you got a dude who can make, you know, make the throws, who can read a defense, stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, of course you want, personally, I want the better guy to be first, but. Athleticism, we may not think so, but hey, in the league these
this
days,
is why is
really
this even news?
It
why are we
lot.
Reporting this?
Because honestly, because it's hilarious. I mean, that's pretty much it. It's hilarious because, like, when I saw they cut him, I said, "Okay, who are they going to bring in?" And then I saw who they brought in, and I couldn't help but laugh. You know, and to
this
be,
is
to
like
be honest,
trading Ira Noble. This is like trading Ira Noble for Jared Jeffries. What do you? Kevin Ollie for Anthony Carter.
Yo, right, let's move on, man. Let's move on. Everybody gets the point we're trying to make. You know, the Colts have traded a second-round pick and a conditional late-round pick. And you know they got the cornerback out of Miami who was on TV acting as if he couldn't get in shape.
Vontae.
Yeah, man.
Hey, let
Vontae.
Me ask you something. Do we know of Vontae having any chromosome disorders or any forms of mental illness? Yo, did y'all see the episode of Hard Knocks when he got traded? Did you see his face when he was sitting there talking to the GM?
He just
hurt
there,
his
eyes
was,
wide open.
Yeah, like his eyes was wide open, but they was closed. Like they was closed and wide open. He didn't blink for 10 minutes, and he didn't. He said, "Can I call my grandma?" He said, "Listen,
yeah,
Vontae,
you
your
face."
Grandma.
I'm gonna tell y'all like this. You know who his brother is. And they both are from here. They both have spent a lot of time in the D.C. area. But I'm gonna tell you this, and I ain't gonna say no more. Those dudes are from Atlanta.
Both yeah, I know what you mean when you say that. But it's just weird watching him and like the way he looked. I remember, Dad, remember you were saying on the first episode when you heard him talking, you was like, yo, he sounds very, to put it politically correct, unintelligent. And I'm like, he sounds like a little like crazy or something, like he's a little slow. And then when I saw that last episode of Hard Knocks, I'm like, yo, something might be wrong with my man. Because he said, like, as soon as the GM said that they traded him, he said, can I call my grandma? I'm going to call my grandma. And then the GM was like, no. Before you do that, before you call Nana, let's talk a little bit about.
Because they got a. What
just,
they got a
let's
second.
Talk about what just happened.
A second and a conditional late round pick for him. Like, that kind of stuff kind of surprises you. I mean, because he is talented, but at the same time, when you're,
he's
when
not
you're chronicling
good.
Everything, you know, on an HBO documentary, you get to see his personality and stuff
good.
Like that. So I'm actually surprised that another team took interest in him after watching him on Hard Knocks because he seemed like he was kind of lazy. He was over there trying to fake it, you know, remember he was saying, I'm trying to act like I'm not tired over here and this and that.
Exactly.
Well, I gave him the benefit. I slandered him a little bit. I will say this. He's physically a very talented bump and run corner. So maybe this is indicative of the fact that Indianapolis is going in a different direction defensively and moving away from that Tampa 2 zone style, and they want somebody that can put their paws on you at the line of scrimmage and redirect the receiver, bump them off. So
he is an upgrade, definitely, for Indianapolis because their defense not working with much in the first place.
Other than Buffet. Now, my man Buffet is balling. But he's it.
I mean, that definitely was a need position for them. So, you know.
Yeah. But at the same time, you're like, you know, you're giving up twos and other draft picks. And this team, you're going to need to build around that young quarterback. You know, not going to have him there for nothing. So, So hopefully Vontae Davis could kind of get his act together and ball out.
I wouldn't have given more than a high fourth round for him.
All right, now moving on to another quick story. Your man Chris Cooley, and he's a Redskins fan favorite, and he was released after 8 seasons. Did you see his press conference?
Yeah, Chris, you're right. He's definitely a fan favorite. First of all,
they love him.
Always on radio or TV down here. He's actually a funny dude. Like, he's one of the Redskins that I don't dislike. But I kind of saw the writing on the wall, though. Like, you got Fred Davis, and he had a couple more people in camp that was kind of pushing him. And Chris Cooley, as of late, is always injured. So I think, you know, it was basically time for them to get out of the Chris Cooley business. I don't know. You got a young quarterback, though, and you know how young quarterbacks kind of lean on their tight ends. So hopefully the other guys can step in and give you what Chris used to give you back in his prime, because RG3 is going to need it with the offensive line he has. He's going to have to lean on the tight ends.
Fred is a tremendous athlete, but he's not too bright, and he will drop the ball. He'll make the spectacular catch, but he would drop the easy one and blame it on everyone else other than himself. So that's going to be interesting. Very talented. From an athletic standpoint, he's an upgrade on Cooley at this point in Cooley's career.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Like you said, it was time to get out of the Chris Cooley business. Let's talk about this one. What's your guys' opinion as it is? Russell Wilson being named the starter in Seattle.
Baller.
Okay. I see somebody likes it. Dan, what's your opinion on Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson, he has impressed. Like, I'm going to say I was kind of surprised that he ended up getting the spot, only because, you know, they didn't invest as much in him as people thought. You know, people thought, oh, those 2 games going to get him paid because everybody in the league is stupid. But I still thought they were pretty committed to at least seeing what Matt Flynn would give them this year. So I am surprised, but Russell Wilson, I mean, he beat him out fair and square.
Yo,
so
Russell Wilson, I have yet to see in the NFL, and granted, it's only preseason, so we don't know. It's preseason, but it's been a long time since I've seen a mobile quarterback that's that accurate outside of the pocket, number one. And number two, he's decisive. He steps to the line. He makes his reads, pre-snap reads. The ball is snapped. He makes those reads, and he makes a decision, and he gets out of there. He reminds me of a more athletic, stronger arm Jeff Garcia. Decision-making, man. He makes decisions. No indecisiveness, no idiotic hold on to the ball, try and make a playness with him. I'm impressed.
Jimmy, we got a call on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline.
Okay.
I see.
We got Brainiac from Motor City, you know, who wants to make some comments about us talking about these quarterbacks. Let's bring him on. Brainiac, what's going on?
What's going on? You know, how you doing? That was just the first time I came across your show, so I said I'd tune in before I
glad to have
my show. Right, right.
Glad to have you. What's going on?
If one of the calls just referenced Jeff Garcia, I'm like, why? I mean, I don't understand how you go. I don't understand how you go from, you know, talking about a few attributes to then relating them like to Jeff Garcia. But anyway, we'll get to that. I mean, I'm thinking out of all the quarterbacks throughout NFL history that he can compare those attributes to, and this guy said, Jeff, are you like a San Fran fan? You live in San Francisco? Or something?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah, not at all.
I noticed that you were talking about how I think because I was going back and forth over in a chat room and then a forum, an NFL forum about how, you know, they released Vince Young, and so I had made a comment and I had someone else chime in with or respond to my comment saying, well, you know, I guess obviously the Bills don't want, or the NFL don't need a whiny quitter like Vince Young, and I said, well. I said, well, obviously.
You said,
I thought the Ravens do because they grabbed Carson Palmer. He was like, well, what do you mean or whatever? Carson Palmer, so, you know, pretty much, you know, I called in because you were saying that, well, they got rid of Young or whatever, and they grabbed T-Jack. But people fail to realize or whatever that Vince has a winning record in the NFL. Okay? Now,
but the NFL is the ultimate team game. It's the consummate team game. You can't give him all the credit for that. That doesn't make you good. I mean, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. He's not really that good.
The thing is that he did. You said, obviously, you're right. It's a team game. But I remember when he was at Tennessee. If I can recall, he won the Rookie of the Year. Looked great. Okay. They didn't have too many weapons around him other than Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson came along or whatever, he had some of his best years or whatever. Then after he left, he fell off. But mind you, that Vince was trying to handle his business despite having a coaching staff that didn't really want him. His owner, the owner, Bud Adams, lobbied for them to get Chris Johnson. I mean, to get Vince
Young. Fisher didn't really.
Right.
He wasn't Fisher's guy.
Exactly. So pretty much, when you have a quarterback and then you have a coaching staff, that's pretty much a marriage, okay? So how can you have a successful marriage when your wife don't want you there?
True. But if you fast forward into the current, and if you watched him play the three games he played last year, starting as an Eagle, he was deplorable, egregious. So that's probably why he got cut. That's you talking about like 3 years ago. Look at him about 6-7 months ago. He looked like the doo-doo on the bottom of my shoe.
Okay, hold on. Let me address that for you. Now, you referring to the games that he played in Philadelphia, right?
Yes,
right.
Okay, he was a backup quarterback. Now, mind you, being a backup quarterback, you have to be ready. But he's not in there pretty much taking snaps. Michael Vick went down, he probably got in with the first string during practice when he was down. But pretty much, when you were back at quarterback, you know, you coming out cold.
His first play was an interception. His first play was a pick.
And he turned away and threw the ball over his shoulder. He should have got shot in his calf and been taken out of the NFL for a retarded play
he was on our 20, he was on the goal line, we were on the 5, he threw the ball, didn't even look,
I understand what you're saying, like as a backup quarterback you come in cold, you're not acclimated with the team, you're not even acclimated with the center. But at the same time, a starting quarterback has been in the league for 7 years, knows right from wrong. Right? Okay. He goes right from wrong. You don't throw a pass like that. On that section of the field.
I understand what you're trying to say about his record, but if he was as good as, like, you know, I think that you believe he is, he would have a job right now. Also, he's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns in his career. He hasn't even thrown for 10,000 yards yet, and he's been in the league 8 years. His passer rating is below 80. I mean, just look at his numbers. Statistically speaking...
Go ahead.
Sorry, boss. You can tell we're not Vince Young fans.
Said, you know, statistics are for fantasy football, folks, okay? When you're talking about football, when you step on the field, your main objective is to win the game. Tebow is atrocious. He's still on the team over there because they want him there, okay?
Now, but they don't want Vince Young.
His completion percentage is this. His completion is that. When it all boils down to that, at the end of four quarters, the Tennessee Titans won games. He got into the playoffs, and they won 8-9 straight games while he was there. Now, this is the greatest quarterback at all. I mean, I don't
Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. I mean, that's all irrelevant. They played with a great defense. He had a running game. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Is he a great quarterback?
Hey, Brainiac.
No, I didn't say that.
Because we're about to have a guest in a couple of minutes, but let everybody know where they can hear your show.
Okay, it's Monday and Thursday at 8 Eastern time. So, you know, like I said, Cheat Sheets Urban Sports Talk. Call in and give me a piece of mind. I'm pretty much going to talk about some of the Heisman hopefuls coming up this year in college football. So, you know, show me some love, and I hope to hear from some of you so we can continue this heated debate.
All right, no doubt. We'll definitely get back with you. Thanks for calling, man.
Yep.
All right, Aki.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on before, like, we do have a guest coming on soon. At any rate, my fault, because I ain't even
get a chance to come at his neck about the about the Jeff Garcia.
I ain't gonna front though. I did think you was getting ready to name like an all time great. You said he reminds me of Jeff Garcia. I'm like,
no,
okay.
But Jeff Garcia wasn't no bum. 5-time Pro Bowler.
I didn't say he was a bum. But when you build somebody up like that, you don't expect them to say
Jeff
Garcia.
Jimmy, you should know, of all people, we're War Room Sports. So I'm not gonna jump out there after a few preseason games and give him the badge of some Hall of Famer. I get that,
but like, yo, to the other fellas listening, PJ and Dad, did y'all think he was going to say Jeff Garcia though? The way he built that up,
they ain't know what I was going to say.
No, I didn't know.
I thought you were going to say Steve Young hit first, but nah,
yo,
me too, that would be way too early to
say.
It's better that he said Jeff Garcia, because if he just said Steve Young, we'd have told him he was tripping. So.
No. But the thing is, he didn't say. He said that it just shows traits and reminds me of. I just thought he was going to say something. You know, I don't know what he was going to say, but I definitely didn't think Jeff Garcia. Anyway, last thing, real quick. Let's talk about your PJ's cousin. PJ's cousin, Terrell Eldorado Owens.
Oh, man.
He done, man. He had as many catches as he had drops. You can't do that. You can't do that. It's hard to defend him, man.
I'm going a different direction. I'm going to say he's not done. And here's why.
Okay, Jesse Jackson. Keep hope alive.
Yo, here's why. The play that he ran with that egregious drop through the end zone. Did you see where he was in proximity to the defensive backs on that play?
He beat him.
He beat him by
3 yards.
He beat like 4 steps. I'm about to say about 4 or 3 or 4 steps.
And
yeah.
T.O. ain't never had the greatest hands in the world, but if you can show me that you still.
To be fair, he couldn't catch when he was good. So
yeah, he couldn't catch when he was. So to be able
to
beat somebody
after one drop.
So if you can beat him by three yards still, and they're probably 10 to 15 years younger, probably old enough to be T.O.'s sons, and he's still running
it's
4
over,
yards
man.
Ahead
Yo,
of him.
Yo, it's over, B. Like, cut it out, man. It's over with, man. I mean, he had a good run, but it's over with, man. I know you're trying to hold out hope. You know, I know you are Jesse Jackson right now, trying to keep the hope alive. It's over though, man. Chalk it up.
And yeah. And Austin exaggerating them yards too. It was not 3 yards in front of them.
Yeah, it went from two to three. And look, PJ
next week
is going to
be. He was 7 yards.
PJ ain't correct.
Nah, I said like 3 to 4 steps. Now they could have been like mini me steps, or they could have been like you know Manute Bol steps. But now he's a
foul line.
He
had him beat. He definitely had him beat.
Yeah, he had him beat. Yeah.
Yeah, but
anyway, man.
So I mean,
ahead,
no hope, y'all. Like, y'all don't think during the season when somebody gets injured, T.O., do you think he'll get that call before Chad?
Yeah.
Chad about to go to jail, man.
Chad about to go to jail, homie.
Well, I guess he will get that call before Chad. But it's funny because remember we put up on our Facebook page a few weeks ago which one of these three, you know, great, quote-unquote great receivers would have the best year. And we had Chad, T.O., and Randy Moss on there. Randy Moss is the only one left with a job. So I guess by default, Randy Moss will have the best year.
Uncle Otis.
And he's coming
great
off
cat.
Retirement. It's crazy. I think it may be over. You know, if he can't make it with a team like Seattle, you know.
And he let Braylon Edwards beat him out.
He let Braylon. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's over, man.
Braylon.
I'm telling y'all, man.
Braylon is very talented, but he's the guy who catches the difficult passes and drops the routine. He'll be wide open down the seam, and he'll drop the ball, but then he'll catch something in between three people, diving sideways. You know?
Braylon is the dude that will drive an all-white Ferrari to the party and hop out and leave the doors open. Drawing.
I don't even know what to say to that, man. I don't even know how to respond to that.
Everybody got quiet. Like, I'm It's all good. And on that note, we'll just go to our guests because we do have our guests holding on to the line. Before we bring him on, we'd like to let you know that his segment tonight is being brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/worldroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. Now, our guest this evening is a young up-and-coming writer at the USA Today. He writes for he's an NFL reporter. So, we're going to bring him on and basically ask him a few questions about the upcoming season and get his opinion on things. So, without further ado, I didn't lose him there. Okay. Robert Klimko from the USA Today. Robert, can you hear us? You there?
Yeah, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Robert?
How are you?
How you doing, Robert?
Pretty good. I like that Ferrari with the doors open analogy. That's strong.
Yeah, that's like the kind of thing when Austin goes to those type of analogies, we just got to stop the conversation and move on to the next thing.
I'm
way too deep for it sometimes.
I'm going to fit that into a story somewhere.
Definitely do that. Definitely do that. So let's get right into it because the season is almost upon us. You know, there's happy days in the world of sports. Let's talk a little bit about Peyton Manning. Now, with the return of Peyton, this is Devin, by the way. With the return of Peyton Manning and from what we've seen of him thus far in the preseason, what are your expectations for the Denver Broncos this season?
Yeah, I mean, at first there were questions about Peyton, whether he could do it. And then you saw that last preseason game. It seems like he can do it. You make an Eric Decker out there looking like a Pro Bowler.
He answered that question. Yeah.
So the next question is, you know, are the Broncos a good enough team to actually get him where he wants to go? Why he's still playing football, which is to win a Super Bowl? You look at those Colts teams, and those defenses were built on rushing the passer because they knew they were always going to play with a lead. So they didn't really have to have great interior defensive linemen, and they had a lot of talent at the corners, and they had a lot of talent at the DNs, and some talent at the safety position. Do the Broncos have that? Are they the kind of team that is built to defend the pass? So Peyton's going to give you a lead, unlike Tim Tebow and the No'Shawn Moreno running attack gave you. So these teams that they're going to be playing are going to be throwing the ball from the get-go. You don't have Brian Dawkins anymore. That's a big blow. So, to me, I look at that defense, and I really don't think they can play the kind of football that Peyton Manning's game is going to force them to play.
Okay, now we actually have a resident Bronco fan here in the war room. Jimmy's a Broncos fan. I wouldn't say he used to be a Peyton detractor, but he didn't always speak highly of
No, you can say that.
Listen, man, like I told you, I take back everything I've ever said negative about Peyton Manning. I take all that back.
Do you guys think they have the kind of defense that can keep up?
That remains to be seen. I mean, it came along at the end of the season last year, but I definitely want to see them in a couple of regular season games before I make that determination.
Sure.
Because it's just hard to tell in the preseason. But I have another question about a whole other team. And my question to you, by the way, thanks for coming on, by the way. But
My question is about
Dez Bryant, because we've heard conflicting reports about whether these rules actually exist and who was responsible for the concept. So I just want to know, what are your thoughts on the whole Dez Bryant rules, and are they necessary?
I mean, I can't be really sure if they exist or not. You know, I like to read just as much as you guys. I think Jerry Jones acknowledged that he endorsed them, right? But,
Jerry Jones, the report I heard yesterday was that he denied the whole thing. But the coach said that they existed. His representative said it was his idea. Dez wanted this guidance. So the reports are all over the place, man.
Someone's lying.
So it's kind of regardless of whether it does or doesn't exist. The fact that we're even talking about a guy who's 25 years old and he's in the NFL and he's a first-round draft pick, and whether he needs a bodyguard with him at all times to tell him what strip club he can and can't go to is a really bad sign for your franchise. So when you're trying to draft players and you pick a high-profile guy that you're paying that much money, if you're not winning the Super Bowl this year and you're trying to build a team that's going to win down the road or win two or three Super Bowls, how can you have that kind of liability on your team? Why would you ever go into a season hoping that this guy doesn't go to the wrong club and get in a fight?
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I hope like the Pac-Man Jones, the little rules they had for him when he was on the team. But I think it's also, I mean, Jerry's protecting his investment, basically, but maybe, I'm just thinking, do they think this highly of him that they have to take these measures rather than just releasing him, just letting him go?
Right.
It's
has
weird.
He even really proved that? Has he even proved that he's like that? That he's worth all that?
Yeah, he's that good, exactly.
and you know, I mean, you don't even have to cut a guy like that. You know, somebody like the Bengals or the Lions are going to jump. They don't care if half their team is smoking weed.
He fit right in with the Lions.
Snoop Lion. oh man. That,
you got a question,
B? That's funny. That is funny. Yeah. Robert, this is B. Austin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. Great, great. Still thinking about that Ferrari, wishing it wasn't Braylon's mine. There are five rookie signal callers will be starting for their teams on opening day. Which ones have stood out to you in the preseason, and what are your thoughts in the Luck versus RG3 comparisons thus far?
Oh man, I mean that's a great question. I love as a Madden guy, I love going into a season with rookie quarterbacks in because that's the only way they get better in the video game. But it's not always the way they get better in real life.
Right.
You know, you look at Luck and RG3, and I really think that Luck has a better chance to succeed early. That one preseason game with RG3 when he fumbled and just kind of looked confused out there, that really worried me. Luck is a guy who was ready to be in the NFL a year ago, you know, whereas RG3, you didn't really even know who he was at the beginning of last year before he made the whole Heisman push. I really like what you see out of Luck. I like Russell Wilson a lot. That preseason game was just so impressive, and I think they'll put him in a position where he doesn't have to do too much. You know, they're not going to be a great team, but they're not really going to put him out there throwing the ball 35 times a game. The guy that really scares me is Tannehill. In the preseason, he just looked awful. I don't really know how you justify giving him the job and not Matt Moore. They played the same kind of football, which was bad football.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I kind of thought that was Matt Moore's job going in. So watching the actual Hard Knock and keeping up with their training camp, first I was surprised that, you know, Garrard was about to be named the starting quarterback. And then, you know, I was also kind of surprised that Tannehill was named starting quarterback. But when you watch an HBO documentary, you know, you get your feelings involved. So I'm kind of a fan of Tannehill's now. And even though I know he shouldn't be leading that team right now, I'm rooting for him. You know? HBO can make you like anybody, basically.
I mean, Tannehill doesn't even know what division he plays in.
HBO is the best reality TV on television, by far.
Exactly, exactly. Hard Knocks 24/7. That'll get you every time.
Yeah.
So Robert, I know you've spoken to Michael Vick recently for an article that you wrote. Considering Vick's iffy health, what do you think the Eagles' chances are this season with or without him?
Yeah, I mean, Mike's a guy who takes a lot of pride in what he does and you know, doesn't want to change the things that he does. I asked him, you know, is there a line every play? Like when you go up there and you say, all right, how much am I going to try to stretch this play if it breaks down, or am I going to just eventually throw it into the dirt? And I think some quarterbacks think about that, but Mike says, you know, I can't. I have to just play each play and let it all come to me in the moment. And that's the kind of quarterback he is. That's why we all love watching him, but that's why he gets hurt. And that's why most other quarterbacks in the NFL don't play that way. So, I mean, you know, Mike's always going to come back from the injury, but let's say they're 8-6 and they're in a division race with the Giants, and then he gets hurt and then Nick Foles comes in. You taking Nick Foles or Eli Manning? So I don't really know. You know, nobody knows what's going to happen, but I think it's a pretty safe bet that he's going to get hurt again. To what degree, I don't know. I don't really think it matters what kind of rear protection he's wearing when you got a 250-pound guy running a 4.5 at your chest. So the whole thing about the Kevlar and the rib protection, I ignore every one of those stories. It's irrelevant.
Do you think he brings some of that on himself in the fact that he tries to, one, I feel like he holds the ball a bit too long, and two, he really, you know, he doesn't know when to just take it on the chin, throw it out of bounds, and, you know, live to play another day. He tries to really make a play out of every opportunity, regardless of the risk that he's taking.
I think back in the day, when he was throwing all the interceptions, he was trying to make a play and just letting it go, you know. And now he's still trying to make a play, but he wants to do it by extending his time in the pocket and finding the open guy. And, you know, you guys all watch the NFL. Sometimes there's just no open guy there. How many times have you seen Peyton Manning just give up on a play and just throw it into the dirt, throw it at some running back's feet or something like that? You never see Mike do that.
Right. No. I think it's that Hampton Roads mentality. You got the same mentality as like an Allen Iverson. Play every play like
never
it's my last.
Guy.
He's a basketball player out there.
Yeah. See, that's the kind of athletes they breed down there for some reason. So you like them for their heart, but then, you know, you kind of scoff at their level of fundamentals.
What happened with Aaron Brooks, though?
Aaron Brooks? He was better than I think people gave him credit for.
Oh, my God. Please do not start talking about Aaron Brooks being good.
Go ahead, Dan.
All right, well, let's switch gears then. Because we all know that preseason football basically has the potential to be meaningless in the bigger scheme. But do you see any hope for the Jets offense this year?
I do. And it's only because I really like Sean Green. And I think he gets a bad rap. He's not explosive, but he's a downhill runner. He's good for that offense. And if you look at his stats every season, I was really surprised by this. I looked it up the other day. He's improved every season, significantly every season he's been in the league. So I think that he's a guy that they're going to be able to lean on, not have an LT anymore. I still don't understand the Tebow move, and I wish he didn't go there. I wish he could go somewhere and be a starter, and then that team would suck, and then we could all forget about that team. But that didn't happen. I'm interested to see how they incorporate him. But, you know, can they make the playoffs? I think they can make the playoffs as a wild card. Are they ever going to win a Super Bowl with Mark Sanchez? I don't really know about that. But
how many games does Tebow start?
I think he's going to play. I don't know if it would take a load off the coach's shoulders if Mark Sanchez would just get hurt, and that'd be the reason. But if let's say Mark Sanchez doesn't get hurt, I think Tebow ends up starting five games.
Wow.
I got
Jesus on his side.
speaking of the New York teams, what kind of chance do you get the Giants to repeat this year, realistically?
Oh man, it's so hard to repeat. You know, it's like you talk to some of the guys who are on the Packers, and they just talked about how that one year that they not came out of nowhere, but you know they weren't favorites to win a Super Bowl, and they did, and then the year that they came back, they just felt like that big target's on their back, you know, and everybody's paying so much more attention to what you're doing week in and week out, and that can be kind of stressful. So I think it really was better suited Eli as a player and as a person to be kind of underestimated, and I don't know if he's that guy, that two-year-in-a-row guy. I mean, there's a very short list of quarterbacks who have led teams to Super Bowl 2 years in a row, much less won them.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true.
Very. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about the question, what effect do you think the replacement officials will have on the game?
Yeah.
How are these scab referees? I ain't gonna call them scab.
You know, I actually was getting ready to go home today from the office, and then my editor asked me to write a story on replacement refs and from a betting standpoint. So I started calling these sportsbook guys, not knowing what they were gonna say, and asking them, "How do you think the replacement refs are gonna affect games?" And then some of them were talking about how during this preseason the overs have been 12% higher than in any other year. And their theory is that the refs are more conducive to offense because they're nervous and they're not going to call as many holding penalties and little tick-tack things like that. And the other concern was that the home teams are going to have a bigger advantage because an inexperienced referee might be more affected by the home crowd. And they looked at week one of the 2001 regular season and saw that the home team covered, the line or won most of those games. And that was, it's a really small sample, but it's something you got to look at. In the end, I think, these guys are going to be making mistakes for both sides. The one thing that the teams that might have an advantage are the teams that play a more physical brand of football, like the Ravens, the 49ers, the Steelers. If the Steelers know that there's going to be fewer penalties and that they're going to get away with more stuff, it's going to be scary to play against them.
That's actually good information. I think I might have to call my bookie. Win me some money here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Robert, it's prediction time. We got to get you on the record before the season starts, so you can give us, if you will, give us your 8 division winners, your 4 wild cards, wild cards, your conference championship matchup, your Super Bowl matchup, and then the champion. Go.
All right.
On the hot seat.
All right, so I just turned this in to my editor and got made fun of, so let me preface it with that. my picks never really do well, but last year all the commenters on the website went online and really ripped into me for picking the Buccaneers to win the NFC. So.
You know what? We got a loyal listener that's a diehard Buccaneers fan. He probably shout out from ear to ear.
Willie G.
Yeah. He's in our chat room right now.
All right. So with all that in mind, I picked the Pats in the AFC East, the Ravens in the AFC North, the Texans in the South, and the Broncos in the West. I had to switch it up from the Chiefs to the Broncos. After that preseason game that Peyton threw, was it 2 or 3 touchdowns? My AFC wild card is the Bills, and the other wild card is the Bengals.
Wow.
So in the NFC East, I picked the Eagles. In the North, I picked the Packers. In the South, I picked the Falcons. And in the West, I picked the 49ers. My 2 wild cards there were the Giants and the Panthers, with the Giants sneaking in. My AFC champion was the Houston Texans, and my NFC champion was the 49ers. But I'm a sucker for good defense. I love good defense. And my Super Bowl champion was the 49ers, with Patrick Willis being the MVP of the game.
Oh, you went all the way down to the MVP of the game.
I'm talking about 49ers,
write that
down.
Patrick Willis. That's pretty interesting. I like, you went out on a limb with some of them, and I like that because that's, that's what we kind of do here. We don't just But, the 49ers and Texans, that could have been the matchup last year. But I do think, I think the Texans may have a better chance of getting back to that point this year than the 49ers because I'm still not sure about Alex Smith. I was never one of the people who were saying that he's a bum, he should be gone, this and that. But at the same time, this team has risen to a new level. And, they're going to need him to be pretty consistent to stay at that level. So we will see. We will
You guys talked about Trent Dilfer. I think Alex Smith can be a Trent Dilfer kind of guy when you look at that defense.
True.
Mm.
Very good point. And Trent even tried to light it up a little bit in the Super Bowl.
and I'm here.
I may as well play.
And Randy Moss is no Brandon Stokely.
I mean, that's very true.
Yeah, he does have as long as he has a strong arm, you have Randy Moss out there, there's always a chance. So before we get you out of here, Robert, you want to let everybody know where they can see your writing? I mean, everybody knows USA Today, but, you can let them know.
Yeah, I'll be covering mainly the Redskins and Ravens and hopefully a little bit of the Eagles after talking with Vic a couple times this offseason. You can follow me on Twitter at Robert Klemko. That's RobertKlemko. I'll be tweeting all my stories and things like that, and hopefully the Ravens and the Redskins are relevant enough for me to make some money.
No doubt. Well, thank you for coming on. We definitely
thanks,
have
appreciate
the season. And I missed
man,
you at the ladies' soccer game in London. They did good. They made us proud.
Oh, that was awesome to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely was. But like I said, we'll definitely have you back during the season, and anytime you want to come event, you can come do it in the war room. So
I appreciate it, guys. It was,
all right.
I had fun listening to you.
All right.
All right,
you.
Take it easy.
All right.
Later.
Yeah, I like
right.
those picks. That's,
Robert
Klemko,
everybody. NFL writer, USA Today. And you say, Jimmy, you like those picks?
I said I like those picks. I mean, not that I agree
yeah.
with all of them, but I like the fact that, you know, he went out on a limb right there. That's
yeah.
some good stuff right there.
We lost LeRoy out of the chat room because he was waiting. I told him that he was going to do his picks because I saw y'all in there talking about Broncos versus Chiefs. Actually, at one point he picked both of them, but he had to change it after Peyton lit it up. And
he roots for those Chiefs. I mean, we're not going to hold that against LeRoy that he roots for the Chiefs. But anyway, before we get into some more NFL talk, tell everybody how to get in touch with us real quick.
Real quick. Everybody, you can check out our website at warroomsports.com. You know everything you need to know is right there on that website. Just take a minute to browse. To call in and speak to us right now about any of our topics, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. And I see we have somebody who was on earlier and they're waiting again. So, Jimmy, you can go ahead and do your thing. Okay.
No, that's the homie Naeem wanted to talk. That's Naeem.
Oh, okay. Well, you want to let him on real quick before we
no doubt.
Before we move on?
What's up, homie?
Hey,
Naeem.
Hey,
in Philly.
Hey, what's going on,
back in Philly.
I wanted to touch on a couple of things, just like the writer was just talking about, like the wide receiver, Dez Bryant. With all these, some players think they're bigger than the NFL, the NBA themselves. Just like T.O., Chad Johnson, they were great players. But when they start running their mouth, the man above will take your talent away from you and put you in a situation. And, I mean, like you saying, okay, we all know Tim Tebow. He's a bum quarterback. True, he's a bum. But he's humble. He has his thing on. He's a virgin. And he's going to stay in the league.
Look at what it did for A.C. Green.
He's going to stay in the league. It is not about being a race thing or whatever. Some of us, I don't want to use the word, some of us black folks just don't know how to shut up and be humble for our gifts in life.
Oh, let me ask you guys another question, and I'm going to ask you this, Naeem, and everybody. Why is it always the wide receiver position that, like, you know?
I don't understand
that.
Ew. Wide receivers and point guards.
Wide receivers are typically the closest to making the big play. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, it's the most dependent position on the field. So from inside the game, you know that they're probably the least valuable. But as far as what the fans' perception are, yo, a fan doesn't want to see 10 four-yard runs. A fan wants to see one 40-yard reception. So that 40-yard reception and that mentality gets in their head, and, you know, that's what it is.
They know that they're probably, besides a quarterback, they're the most entertaining player on the field.
Right.
Yeah.
But
they may not even be the most valuable because, like Bjarnason said, they are definitely dependent. Like, because a good wide receiver, it depends on a lot of stuff to happen for him to get a pass.
One more thing to tell you guys in reference to this in our chat room, LeRoy said that, in his opinion, Jerry Jones is putting up with Dez because he still, to this day, regrets not drafting Randy Moss, and he's afraid that Dez can have that kind of impact.
Yo,
yeah,
I've said this before. I think Dez Bryant is the most talented receiver in the NFC East.
Dez Bryant is a hell of a receiver. He's a hell of a receiver. But the off-field trouble is like crazy. Like, Chad, y'all was just talking about him 3 weeks ago, and y'all had to pick. And I laughed about this when I heard he got cut. I couldn't believe it. I just laughed. Like, what was this dude thinking? and y'all was just talking about who's going to do the best, Chad Johnson, Randy Moss, and T.O.
And Randy Moss got a job.
And I said, I think Chad, I'm like, I still don't know if he's going to make the team. I didn't think he was going to get cut.
Yeah, he was in like,
you know,
exactly.
For,
you think,
for
yeah.
being the junkyard dog with his wife, but, you know, I thought, you know, it was going to be some other. I mean, and the Dolphins are still trying to say that it wasn't just that, you know, so they
Come
were acting
on.
Like
yeah.
they were on the fence with him anyway. But for what they have out there, you know, unless
he,
you're just trying to do a youth
fence.
Movement and you don't want
no.
Chad's antics there, was no way. They could have cut Chad Johnson with the core that they have.
Nah.
I heard reports that he was looking great and he was the best looking receiver in camp.
Yeah, but that's hard to be, but still.
That preseason game, he dropped the ball and then he gets locked up. To, you know, the one ball that was thrown to him, he dropped. He's wide open. You know,
yeah,
so
I mean,
like,
no one knew. No one knew that he would hit his chick with the E Honda headbutt.
Nah.
Yeah, he speared her like a D-bag.
Yeah, hit her with the Street Fighter E Honda jump. But, I mean, it's crazy to see that it's always the receivers. Like, even Chris Henry, rest in peace, like, he was acting a fool. You look at DeSean Jackson and him acting a fool.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I got one better for you.
Guy, right?
Brandon
there,
Marshall.
God rest his soul, Carey, Brent brother. Great wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How about that? He's definitely a wide receiver.
I played me and Carey played a Western Lane Championship with Coach Brown together.
Remember, I was a running back on that team.
Yeah.
I might have moved up to the 105.
You moved up. You were the 105. We saw it, yes.
And yeah, how about that? That's a good point.
If you remember, Carey, loudmouth, running with
the Yeah. Yo, so what's up with the wide receiver position, man? Like, yo, Marvin Harrison was the only one that was humble.
Carey just knew how he was supposed to act. No,
Carey ran into the light pole post and was the way. So I'll never forget that. I laughed and joked him. So what? You don't catch the ball look as pretty as I do. It's just the ego.
Carey was my dude, though, man. Because I came from a whole other neighborhood to play. And they didn't like the fact that, you know, I came all the way from North Philly and got a running back spot. So he
was
like,
you can't come uptown. You can't come uptown and do that, man.
Yeah, he was like one of my only friends on the team because everybody else probably wanted to see me dead. But
yeah.
Yo, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the wide receiver position, like, we can name a long list of just players who, you know, Darius Hayward Bay, like, it's Brandon Marshall. Like, yo, it's crazy when you think about it.
But
funny.
I'll let y'all go, man. Y'all have a good one. I just had to touch on that one.
All right, homie. Yeah,
you know,
man,
now
that's
he's
crazy.
He's thinking back to West Oak Lane Wildcats.
Yo, he's saying receivers been crazy. Even in Little League, the receivers act a fool, man.
He said my man Carey was a diva back in Little League, man.
Yo, real quick though, I'm gonna get you guys' opinion on this Maurice Jones-Drew thing. I had two fantasy drafts this past week, and it was amazing to see how people were scared to touch him with a 10-foot pole. Because, you know, this whole situation, he's going through demanding a trade. I mean, I got like 2 years left on the deal. What's up with this, man?
The Jags said, not going to happen, homie. I mean, because he said he demanded the trade, but then he did the clean PC retraction where he said, I want to retire Jag. I think he probably thought that was going to get them, you know, on better terms so they can make a deal. But the new owner, Khan, you know, speaking of Ox, he said, that's not going to happen. So, like, I'm curious to hear what you guys think is going to happen in this situation. Is he going to swallow his pride and come to camp, or is he going to hold out and just lose all his dough?
I don't know his money situation.
His running back career. Yeah.
I don't know his money situation or his spending habits, but when you losing $30,000 a day or $30,000 a week?
Regardless, don't even matter at that point, dude.
Yo, he must be living somewhere in the projects. He must live in the projects where he can stand that type of loss.
As of last Friday, he was at $856,000.
Yeah, that's how I think he's going. He doesn't have enough leverage. I think he's going to have to succumb where Khan has more leverage in it. You know.
Yeah, Kumar is not giving none of that money back. He's trying to play this game because it is what it is. Like, you're losing too much money, and I mean,
yo, if he does give in, and say he, like, what do you do at this point? You giving cats new contracts when they got 2 years left. It's like, you know, you got to stop. They got to put your foot down at some point. Like, what's up with that? Like, I don't know how it goes, though.
Like, you can stay out, and they're going to fine you, but as soon as you come back to camp and everybody makes nice, they're going to waive the fine. So he,
and then
you're
going
to
get injured.
Knows, you know. Yeah, and then they're going to have a hamstring. So
they're going to have a hamstring.
They're going to have a hamstring. Exactly. So it's like, cut it out, man. Like, he has no
leverage.
How
come when dudes train at home, it's never the same as when you're training with the team, and you know,
man,
at the practice facility? How come they always come back and get a hamstring, a quad, or something?
Because you can be in great shape, man, but it's a great philosopher named Michael Tyson who said that everybody has a plan until you get hit. So no matter how much running you do or how great a shape you in, it's different when you're trying to make those cuts and people trying to take your head off.
Yeah, because right now he probably just in his living room cutting around couches and chairs and stuff. That's not, like, you know, they may weigh as much as dudes running after you, but they're not moving. You know what I mean?
My man, he at home doing a bartender's workout trying to stay in shape. You know what I mean? Like, that's a whole different ball game from when cats trying to knock your head off.
Yeah,
let me ask you guys a question about this. I'm going to be quiet because, you know, I'm not going to tell you how I feel, but how do you guys feel about watching Peyton play his last game?
Yo, y'all already know that I dine at the table of Peyton Manning with the Manning family. I'm a Stanley of Peyton. I'm a Stanley, and I'm open about it.
Do y'all remember, though, just last week we were talking about how the reports were, like he was having trouble throwing to the right and stuff like that. I think he went out solely with the intentions of proving those reports wrong. You know he's the type of dude, you know he reads the news. You know he reads the blotter. He listens to what these people say.
He might have thrown all to his right.
Straight. He looked pretty good. And like Robert Klimko said earlier, you know, he's out there making Eric Decker look like a Pro Bowl receiver, you know, like off the
ground. All right, I can't remain quiet. I got to say something.
yeah, come on, Bronco dude. Bronco,
it's like he definitely looked good. What impressed me is the fact that they were playing a good defense. But the one thing I can say, just being honest, is it looks like he was sharp. The accuracy is there. The velocity is just not the same yet. So hopefully it gets there. I don't know whether it's
ball's
going for
good.
Ball's
a little wobbly. A little wobbly.
Yeah, like the velocity is not. I don't know if that's an age thing or a rust thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know whether he's just doesn't have the strength that he once had or whether it's rusting. So only time will tell when he gets to play a full game.
You know, I've learned that you don't really need to have a strong arm, high velocity, or the long ball, even though chicks dig the long ball. You don't have to have that to be successful and be a winner and be a Hall of Fame quarterback in the NFL. You have to be smart. You have to be able to read defenses and coverage, and you have to be able to make the defense, A, not know what you're doing, and B, do what you want them to do. And Peyton is adept at doing that, not to mention he's accurate 20 yards and in.
I actually would think, you know, I'm not a doctor. I just stayed in a Holiday Inn Express last night. But, like, it probably would mess with your velocity a little bit if you got, like, nerve damage in your neck.
Right.
I mean, like, your neck. I was like, come on.
My neck, my back, my neck and my back. Oh.
That's Peyton after the game, going to the ice tub.
My neck.
And one last thing. The one thing I also was impressed with, this is the first game where I saw him take a legitimate hit. Like, he got drilled on one play and got back up and kept playing. Because I ain't going to front. I, like, made a grimace when I saw him get hit.
You
were kind of
nervous
like,
when you saw that. Like,
I was like, okay, now here's a true test right here.
Yeah, like,
I ain't going front, but imagine how bad it would have been if he'd have just stayed there and planted in the ground after the dude got up and hit and he didn't get back up.
Jimmy would have cried.
Like,
or get up like 12 minutes later, they got his neck all break down to the stretcher, and Peyton just hold his thumb up. Well, you know how they put their thumb up? You just put his jaw down. Like, I quit. He's over. I quit.
Damn.
Yeah, no doubt. So, you know, I was good to see Peyton. Now, we got Rob's opinion, but let me get you guys' opinion on this whole Dez Bryant situation. Before you guys give your opinion, the fact that Dez Bryant put himself in a position to make this even a story, we have to say one thing.
He gets the award.
He wants the JoJo Award
Dez
of the week.
Bryant.
because you put yourself in a position to make this a story. So what are you guys' opinions?
Yeah. First of all, remember how we talked about we're not sure because of all the conflicting reports. We're not even sure who's responsible for the concept. I'm sorry. I really can't see Des Bryant going to management like, yo, I need to be on lockdown 24/7 because I'm a monster. So I need y'all to slap these slavery rules on me, and I'll accept it. I can't see him going to management and saying that. So right now I think Jerry Jones is just trying to play coy. And since Des Bryant's representatives are willing to take the heat for it, I think Jerry's just going to let him. Like, hey, whatever. I got my slave.
My agent.
Damn. He got that Floyd Mayweather type security, though. I'm like, I don't understand how a grown man needs that, though. Like, how do you need all
that
security?
Crazy
security. Somebody got sleep in bed with him, wipe his butt like Prince Akeem. It's just too much. Like, this guy, it's like, you know, you shouldn't have to do that for an athlete. Like, what's wrong with this dude, man? Like, I understand that people have problems, but for someone to need to be babysat to that extreme in the situation that he's in is just egregious. Like, I mean, I wouldn't do it. To me, Des Bryant is a very good receiver. But as an owner, and I understand that it's an investment, but I can't, I don't know, maybe it's just me and my morals, and I might be making a bad business decision because I'm resting on my, like, morals a little bit, but
it's
there's
like,
no way I'm doing that for a grown man.
Yeah,
I'm never doing that for no grown man. You can't get it together, dog. Sorry. Like, you
can put
this opportunity like that.
I forgot, because we're just talking, because we just assume that all the sports fans are up on everything, which most of them are, but just in case you haven't been around this week, what we're talking about is the strict guidelines set forth by the Cowboys regarding Des Bryant and his off-the-field conduct. These are the guidelines that they set across. Number one, he has a midnight curfew. If he's going to miss curfew, he has to let team officials know in advance. Now, that sounds like, you know, you calling your PO. But
what do you understand?
Number two, no alcohol. He can't have any alcohol. Number three, he can't attend any strip clubs and can only attend nightclubs if approved by the team and he has a security team with him. So they're going to be sending him to, like, Bobby Dances. number four, must have a security team take him. Listen, he got to have a security team take him to and from team functions, practices, and games. Number five, he must attend counseling twice a week. And number six, he has a rotating three-man security team, and one man will be with him at all times. So like PJ said, he's going to have his bathers, he's going to have his rose bearers.
Listen, man, let me ask you a question, Dylan. If he still somehow gets in trouble, like with all this, like, at that point, you have to say, look, you know what I mean, it's over.
They
right?
should be allowed to tie him to the wagon wheel at that point.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Like if you violate him to with all these rules in place, like, they have to just automatically, like, you know, tell you
send
no
him
more
to
cocoa,
the FedEx assembly line.
Yeah.
You're going to tell the security deal, you got to take me to practice, but I'm in the bathtub right now. Give me 5 minutes. And then you got
to the royal penis is clean, Your Highness.
All right, we can leave now.
Oh,
we can leave now.
Oh man,
how you gonna get his rocks off though with chicks and all that? It's gonna have to be somebody refereeing.
Train.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
The security dude might like that.
The security dude gonna be like, Des, the rule states I have to be in here all the time. You might as well let me get down on that.
Pretty much.
Slide
in
that closet for me.
You know, there's a lot of choo-choo going on with the Cowboys organization. So there's no way that my man is going to forego that for a whole season, man. He's going to have to get his moisture. So, with that being
his game
said,
might
man,
be
like,
tight, though. He might be strong as heck if he don't do that. He might run improve his 40 speed and
Damn, homie. Yo, another quick question. Rookie signal callers, who stands out and who is better between Luck and RG3 in your opinion?
Come on, man.
Unless you want to bring another guy in, Austin, cut
yeah.
it out.
Like we discussed earlier, of course, Russell Wilson, you know, he earning that job out of the blue. He definitely impressed me. Robert kind of pooped on him, but I'm a Tannehill fan, man. I want to see Tannehill.
I blame HBO, man.
Yeah, I'm a Tannehill.
I was rooting for Tannehill until I saw the thing. You see when he was talking about his divisions, man?
And he didn't. Yeah, you see how Matt Moore looked at him.
He said he wasn't
an NFL fan growing up. He doesn't know the division. He asked him who was in the
NFC.
He used
to be a wide receiver,
like,
too.
Chiefs? Yo, he said
the Chiefs was in the NFC.
He said the Chiefs in the NFC?
NFC.
And then he was like, yeah, I don't really know the divisions that well. He was like, I kind of know the conferences, but, you know, I know most of the conferences. I'm like, dude, it's only two. Like, what are you talking about?
I know one, two conferences. It's divisions, it's eight of them, but it's two conferences.
Yeah, he doesn't know what teams are in what division. So.
Yeah, well, he's in the film room.
B. Austin, isn't that something we always used to talk about, though? Like, that's why I don't go for that. You know, when we talk to athletes and everything and they try to act like what they say is the end-all, be-all because they play the game?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it on Tannehill's level before, but talking to people who play professional sport about their league, half of the time it seems like these dudes had no clue what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I think it's because they're so engulfed
in
their own stuff.
They don't know what's happening
around the league. Yeah.
Listen, man, it was a Super Bowl quarterback, a guy that played in the Super Bowl who didn't know there were ties. Like, you know, like.
No way
there could have been a professional athlete that didn't even know the rules of the game.
He did not know that there were ties in NFL games. Yo, he thought they were just going to keep. I hate him, yo. I hate him.
Me and
Akil
used to argue with Travis Best. I'm not now, Trav. He's a pretty smart dude. I'm not saying he's stupid, but just by some of the conversation, it's like I just couldn't believe like what are you talking about, dog? Like it was real weird. And he was doing a lot of hating because he knew I was a Sixers fan, so he used to talk about AI back in the day. But
but getting back to Russell Wilson, well, first off, I don't trust him because he got two first names. But I remember during the draft when he was selected in the draft. And they kept saying, like, all the, and this was on the NFL Network, the four letters, Libra. Everybody said the same thing. Now, what they were saying is that this guy was six foot two, he'd been a top 10 pick.
Right.
And this is from, like, every scout. I was like, it's real funny to hear, like, the scouts have a consensus on somebody, but they all said this. Like, this guy can flat out play the game of football. He's just small.
He about to get his Flutie Flakes on, yeah.
Yo, he's Flutie flaking it. He's Drew Brees. There.
Uh-oh.
See, you want me to give
he
you a start?
Up. He moved up.
Drew
Brees. He got a little better.
With some wheels. He's got some wheels. He's already better than the. Never mind.
You're crazy.
I like how he moved up. As far as the luck RG3 thing, I told you last week I felt that whole thing was silly. And I kind of thought people were, you know. There's a lot of people out there, black people, who want to see Andrew Luck fail. So they want to basically overrate the black quarterback just to, just say he's in that league. Now, I think RG3 is a good quarterback. I don't think he's just a running quarterback like I've heard some people say. And I think he has the potential to be pretty good. But at this moment, there's no way you can sit here and tell me that even from watching them play each other last week that Andrew Luck isn't the better quarterback.
Yeah, I respect both guys, and it's funny because I see like some of the tools in RG3, and I actually wish him success. I just wish he didn't play for the Redskins. But I just find it amazing how, I mean, basically, I'm not trying to get too philosophical, but man, we still feel an effect of slavery, man. That's what it all boils down to. we are still affected by slavery to this day, man. Because it's like, why is race even an issue with this? Like.
Black people, RG3 is not better than Andrew Luck in any way, shape, fashion, or form other than running a sprint or the hurdles. Now. I definitely think that RG3 is going to end up being a good quarterback. What I hope happens is that he breaks his legs and ends up leaving the division and gets good someplace else, because I'm an Eagles fan, so that ain't got nothing to do with color or race. I ride or die with the Philadelphia Eagles. So if he's good in D.C., that's bad for my Eagles. I do see talent there. Andrew Luck was ready to play in the NFL 2 seasons ago. So he's light years ahead. He played in a pro system in college. Is really, I won't say there's no comparison, but that's a comparison that if you're looking through an objective lens, Andrew Luck wins that 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a comparison, but I just think people just try really hard to close that gap during draft time, because I really think it was Andrew Luck and then those other guys.
Right.
Yeah. You know, even if Robert Griffin is the best of those other guys, you know,
I got a question. I got a question for
y'all. Just the campaign to make him equal, and for people to even entertain that the Colts might not take Luck.
I got a question for y'all, and I don't know how much of Russell Wilson y'all have seen, but is he better than RG3?
I don't know. Well, I haven't seen him. I would say he's played in the preseason better, but that can all be. That can also be attributed to the Shanahans, because before the whole matchup with Andrew Luck, RG3 had only thrown the ball like 14 times in the preseason. They let it loose like 17 times in the game against Luck, because, you know, they didn't want him to just get totally shown up like that.
I'm just tired of the comparisons. Like, seriously, like, let's see what happens, you know, because we never know how these guys progress and get better. 2 years from now, we could be saying that he's not an RG3's level. For right now,
RG3 could prove himself better by week 5.
Exactly.
Just starting where they are now, like, I'm right now, all we're really going on is college. And even though
this
he won
true.
The Heisman Trophy, you know. It's,
but when these dudes, listen, I'm telling you, and I see it every day on our page and, you know, like, just online in general, cats on the call. From now on, I'm not even engaging in an argument. Anytime somebody says RG, I'm just going to say, we shall overcome.
You're going to sing the whole Negro
That's my response from now on, man.
You're going to Ivy Leaf them cats.
I'm singing the old Negro spiritual, man, because we still feeling these effects, man. We need to get over it, man. Like, not that we need to just get over it, but we gotta move forward, man.
We gotta pick our battles, and that battle is not in the NFL.
I'm power to the people.
You ain't never lied about that.
I'm not gonna lie to myself to be power to the people. I'm going, you know, where it comes natural, it comes natural. But I ain't gonna lie to myself to throw my fist.
Is Cam Newton gonna regress?
Cut that out. That's my fantasy quarterback. So he better not.
Jimmy, like,
I mean, that's just my personal. That's just my personal thing right there. You know what I'm saying? Let me ask you guys a question though. That we asked Rob. What do you think about the Jets' offense? Do you think, you know, because I think he had Sean Green in his fantasy league. But let me ask you guys, what do you think about the Jets' offense?
I can't wait to say God bless.
That's all I care about.
He is in it for the entertainment factor. Like,
Tebow Stanley as well, and I acknowledge that he sucks as a quarterback, but I want him to succeed in everything he touches his hands to.
Just to make people mad.
I look at Tio and I don't even understand the physics of what he does. Like, this guy stinks. I mean, everything about how he plays the game stinks. But at the end of the day, he's still standing, dog. At the end of the day, he's still standing, man. He's about to win a job over the Mexican. I'm telling you.
My man Debo is a gangster.
He's like a brick.
To me, it's so funny.
To take him like 8 seconds, his windup is like 8 seconds long, yo.
But he gets it's even funnier when he fails, though, PJ. PJ, when he fails and he gets the criticism, my man says nothing but God bless. Yeah, you can say your mom. You can say anything to him. My man, God bless.
Yo, it's funny, man.
You can say your mom is disgusting, and he will say, listen, you are great at what you do, and I appreciate you. And I hope God bless you.
That's the most gangster thing ever, man. He's the best. Yo, he has the best publicist ever, man. Just walk around. God bless.
He's a poker player.
Yo, Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher called that man a running back, and he said, man, they're the greatest at their position right now in the game. God bless.
Yo, who was it? Boomer Esiason that, like, started slandering him on TV? He was like, man, he's a great player.
Yeah.
God bless. It was...
He said, Mr. Esiason, he said, God bless Mr. Esiason. I wish him luck in his commentating.
Yo,
I wish him luck in his commentating.
It worked because Boomer had him on his show last week. Boomer had him on his radio show last week.
And Boomer probably apologized and felt bad.
Yeah, he wasn't, like, slandering nearly as much as he was when he wasn't around. He was,
That's because that bull is 6'2 and 250.
And if, I want to watch the Jets before the entertainment. Like, I don't even like the Jets. Their offense stinks. But just to see what's going to happen and how many snaps is Tebow going to get, the ebb and flow of the crowd. Like, it's just...
Yeah. I think they have nowhere to go but up. They scored no touchdowns so far.
They scored nothing. I'm going to say this. The NFL is a man's game. Tebow is a man, and Mark Sanchez is a woman.
All I know is, from now on Facebook and Twitter, when y'all start having dumb arguments with me, that's my whole response. I'm going to say # God bless.
God bless.
I'm not even getting into it no more. God bless, man. God bless.
You got to put
Tebow you're great at what you do. God bless.
You're great at what you do as a hater. You're great. God bless, man. God gave you the talent to be a hater, and I appreciate
like 2 minutes.
Yo, all right. My question is this. We got 2 minutes. I want to know about the Giants and their chances of repeating. From all you guys,
G-man.
Zero. Well, I wouldn't give it zero, but I think that there's so many pieces that have to fall in place as well as them play well that I give it a 3% chance, and it's not because I think that they're a bad team, but I just think to make that run, I think other teams have gotten better. I think they may have gotten a little better. I don't know. I haven't seen enough.
I mean, and there were better teams last year, but, in this one-and-done situation, anything can happen. But I envision if they go up against a Green Bay again in the playoffs, not going to happen twice.
I think the Niners were a better team.
Well,
they got rid of Mr. Softy, Brandon Jacobs.
And guess where he is?
And he's over there with
He's a Niner. He's already
hurt in Napa Valley somewhere.
He's already hurt too.
I know. That probably just comes down to the quarterbacks and Eli and Smith just not winning that battle.
I think it's tough for any team to repeat. But like you said, man, when they win the years they won the Super Bowl, they backed into the playoffs. So I can't never count them out. That's what's scary about them to me.
And real quick, the replacement refs gonna get everybody hurt because they've been letting people play. Like a game of roughhouse in the hood.
All
of this safety that Goodell is preaching is going all out of the window.
Bill Roman. Now that's because they're busy being fans of the hit as opposed to officiating.
they're like, damn!
I've never been this close to this type of action. Can I get your autograph, Troy?
Hey Jim, right before you take us out of here, I forgot to mention. Your boy Kareem. He finally gonna get his statue. It's coming
well deserved.
So shout out to
all I gotta say about the replacement refs is, man, they good at what they do, and God bless.
Right.
Thanks for joining us again in the War Room, good Pete. Shout out to everyone who chimed in today, either in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, all over, everywhere. Special thanks to USA Today NFL reporter Robert Klimko for joining us to share his thoughts on this NFL season approaching. Tune in next week. Two more great episodes. We'll be doing an NFL opening night special on Wednesday, September 5th, and our regular show on September 6th. Until then, have a great weekend. Don't miss our fantasy draft Sunday at 1 for those in the league, and catch our conversations all on the internet. And welcome to our house. We will holler.
I was losing my mind like I was trying to lose it. Using my time for using, abusing my grind. This is my own honest view of who I am behind this music. Ryan, the whole bottle, Patron kind of sewer. At a point in time, I thought I blew it. Doing crime, and I would have washed the pill down with a shot of my own spinal fluid. And my mama knew it. She saw especially right through it that I wasn't protected. Cause peer pressure just be like, but I couldn't fight through it. The beef started, the streets caught up. At least we ain't get involved in defeat orders. It's slaughterhouse. Cause Shady Me Porter set it down and made peace over Porterhouse and Peace Porter.
Some stupid bitch done turned my girl against me. Should have tattooed the earth on my arm. Feel like the world against me. As soon as I put raid, here come the rain falling. The name calling for the cuz I never met with his hand out like I'm straight falling. Feel like I knocked the eight ball, and every time I shoot a move, I literally can't call it. Am I afraid of success? Let me think on it. I just got nervous. Let me drink on it. Think I just answered yes, but not on purpose. I pass the church and do the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but I'm only near it. Man, I need to pass the service. I'm drowning cause I'm so tired of treading. So Lord, when you get a second, please.
So can you rescue me?
Wake up and my shirt is leaking, covered in sweat. I'm dreaming of being murdered when I'm sleeping. Picture a person beefing with himself, and it's even worse when I'm drinking. It hurts when I'm thinking, me versus my personal demons. I'm reaching for my nine. If I point it at myself, will it help to quiet the demons screaming in my mind? And if I go to the other side, just tell my mother it was her prayers that kept her young and fucking son alive. Plus my daughters and my butterfly. Tell my son that I love him. Tell my nieces and nephews they uncle tried to take this music to the fuck. Fucking peace. But I'm still a drug dealer as we fucking speak. That's fucking weak.
Behind the doors of rap band, hospitals and CAT scan shoulder when they call him bipolar. Happiest madman. Don't know my story, my struggle, the demons that I combat. Or how I'm staring at them waiting for eye contact. Beyond that, I got a soulmate that's naive. So the thought of me is prison to her. Baby mama that's crazy and a 10-year-old that listens to her. My fam and friends think I'm the bank, and the way they keep coming back, you think I got banked. If you're supposed to me, it's labor. These ain't monsters, these my neighbors, and we watch each other back. I guess it's favor for favor. Sometimes they even save me with my wrists to that razor.
So can you rest?